your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And I am here with my team member, Mark Carr. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Becky.
And our guest today is Ken McBride. Ken is the president of Chicago Title, Oklahoma. And we're going to be talking about title theft that you hear all over the TV. You need to buy this insurance policy to prevent you from being a victim of title theft.
Boy, when you start looking into this, it can get you just fearful of what can happen to your title to your house
without your knowing about it. I know. And there's been some stuff like that going on in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma County. And so, Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Becky. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Ken.
We're not going to start with that. What we're going to start with is a more prevalent issue, which is wire fraud. We just have to put it out there one more time about wire fraud.
It's so important for everyone to pay attention to this matter, because frequently they will receive wiring instructions from their closing company, and then later a criminal, a fraudster, will reach out to them with an email address that looks similar to the title company's email address, but not exactly, and say, we've had to change the wiring instructions. Wire your money here instead. And although people are getting the message and getting better at it, there are still hundreds of thousands of dollars wired to the wrong bank account every month. And it's catastrophic for some people, because that's a lot of money, and frequently it is not recovered. That money ends up in a foreign country. Most of these people are in a foreign country that will not permit our authorities to go back and search that money and retrieve that money from their accounts. Our company keeps lawyers on call 24 hours a day that are set up to get a restraining order and to stop that bank from forwarding it on to the foreign bank. And we've been able to recover a lot of money, but you have to find out about it very quickly, and you have to act very quickly to be able to recover any of it. All of that money, the fraudulent wires are to a United States financial institution. And then as quickly as the criminal can, they will take it out of that U.S. institution and send it overseas.
So catching it while it's still in the U.S. institution, which could be a matter of minutes or hours.
Well, it is, yes. It's frequently a matter of hours of being able. And sometimes the financial institution, it's so interesting. I'm aware of one case where a credit union received a large wire, to an account that was a new account, and the credit union kind of, a lot of bells and whistles went off in their institution, and so they just picked up the phone and called the title company and said, what's the deal with this? And sure enough, that was not where that money was supposed to go.
Wow.
And so the money was recovered. So everybody is working hard. The FBI is working hard to try and make sure that these thefts don't occur. But every month, someone is misled, someone is in a hurry, and they get that email, and they say, I've got to call my bank and change that. I can assure you, we send out our wiring instructions early in the transaction, and we don't change them. And if we get a wiring instruction from a customer, we will telephone that customer at a known telephone number, not a telephone number provided
by the criminal.
The criminal. Because believe it or not, these criminals have people on that work their phones all the time who sound credible and who will say, oh, yes, we just had to change our wiring instructions. I hope you understand that. And so you've got to call a phone number that you've already verified, that you already have in your file, and that you've already know it's the right people, and verify those wiring instructions. And we have to go through all that. We didn't used to have to go through that. But now we've got people who are spending a great deal of time and energy, a great deal of creative energy, to fool us and to fool our customers into sending their money to the wrong place.
Well, and, you know, once, say you're buying a $380,000 house and you've wired to the title company $43,000 because you want your 10%, and then you've got some money for closing costs and insurance and that kind of thing. And can you imagine if that money doesn't show up at the title company, but your bank verifies it was sent out according to the instructions you gave them? You're gone. That money's gone. So in our company, we have, all of us have, a little disclaimer at the bottom of our email. It's not really printed very small either. It's the same size as our print for our emails. And it basically says, we typically do not get involved in the wiring of funds. So if you get wiring instructions that come from our email address, ignore them, pick up the phone, and call us, because we don't do that. We've always taken the stance that we don't want your Social Security number. We don't want your we don't want to be involved in wiring instructions. And if your earnest money is more than about 1% or 2% of the property price, we don't want that either. We want to transfer that risk over to Chicago Title and deposit the money there. Because what can happen with earnest money? I had a guy that said, I want to make an offer on this particular listing you have, and I will send a 10% earnest money to close cash. Can you arrange the inspections for me? And it was a $550,000 property, so he was going to send $55,000 earnest money. And it was a Chinese gentleman from China. At least the name indicated he was Chinese, but it was definitely, he said, I live in China, and we're going to move to the U.S., and this is going to be a home, not an investment for us, and yada, yada. Well, I called Chicago Title, and I said, you know, $55,000 in earnest money, I'm not real comfortable with that. Could you guys check this out, and could I deposit that earnest money in your account? And you guys checked it out and said, no, we're not going to be a part of that, because what they do, tell us what they do, Ken.
I'll tell you how that works, because actually, Becky, a similar thing happened to me. Someone sent me personally at the company two checks, business checks, for $150,000 earnest money each, and sent me portions of a contract. Both of those checks were drawn on a law firm's account in Toronto. And because it was an international check, it takes longer for it to clear. And the way they operate is that not long after you deposit that check, they call, cancel the deal, and want a refund. Huh. And they want their refund before you have time to know that the check is a fraud.
Right.
I went on the $150,000 checks, I went to the website of that law firm, and before you find anything out about the law firm, they have a huge, bold, red notice that says someone is issuing checks that are fraudulent and they're not on our law firm. Do not take one. And actually, ironically enough, Becky, this same thing has been done to law firms. And I know of a law firm that they were contacted and retained at a pretty good fee to collect on a contract, on a breached contract. And before you know it, they write a demand letter, and almost before they could turn around, they get the person they demanded sent a check for the amount requested.
For listeners familiar with Catch Me If You Can book and movie, it's the same plot that he used all through the 70s and 80s.
It is. There's nothing new to this.
Yeah.
Except that it seems to go in waves where you have a lot of it and then a little of it.
Yeah.
And people expect you to deposit those checks and forget to check to see if the money is actually in your bank before you refund the
right.
money back to them. And we've been targeted on this. We're targeted on this fairly regularly. So far, I hate to even say this, so far we've been very fortunate. Mm. But we try to be very careful before we refund something to someone that those are collected funds. It's an old trick, but there are people still trying it out there.
Well, Catch Me If You Can. We're going to continue this conversation and talk about it's not called title insurance. It is called insurance for the title of your home, title lock or something like that. And we're going to talk about it when we return with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. You can contact me anytime. Very easy to reach, 722-3232. It's 405-722-3232. And you can always go online, BeckyIvins.com, and find the property you want to buy, or kind of check out and see how we market property if you're thinking about selling property. So that's kind of my story, and I'm sticking to it. I'm here with Mark Carr. Mark is a team member and works with buyers on our team.
Yep.
I work with sellers mostly. You work with buyers mostly.
Right, and this is how our team, we have a team that works just as that, a team, so that we can give our clients the specialized service they need.
And we cross train, don't we?
Right.
So what have you done this last week?
Boy, this last week, listed a home, and within 24 hours, three offers on that home, accepted offer, and now we're going out this afternoon with the seller to pick out the home they're going to be moving to.
Well, and you've also done a couple of other things. You've ended up going out and taking pictures, learning how to work the Matterport camera.
We have a Matterport 3D virtual tour camera, which has become a popular thing during this pandemic time, but something we've been doing for 5 years, I believe. And something that you can do a 3D tour and
walk through the house.
Yeah,
take your phone and literally walk through the house.
And if you have one of those headset virtual tours, you can walk. You can make your home your new home while you just walk through it.
Mark, they're called VR goggles. Come on.
Thank you.
Get with the times. Okay. We're here also with Ken McBride from Chicago Title, Oklahoma. And Ken is the president of Chicago Title. And we are talking about fraud, title theft. Does it happen?
Of course it happens. This is one of those areas that it's interesting that an outfit like Title Lock has come along and really shined the light on an area that the title insurance industry, although we see it and we get involved with it, we don't talk much about it. We just kind of keep our heads down and we're out there working, taking care of this, handling claims. We don't advertise our claims. We don't advertise when people are paid for losses in regard to their property, but we still the title industry still pays millions of dollars to consumers and to lenders for claims when there is an issue with their title. I kind of need to do a disclaimer. I'm going to talk about some examples, but none of these examples should be taken as saying that something would definitely be a claim or would not be a claim. Each circumstance has to stand on its own facts. But I can give you some general examples about where someone might want to go.
Okay. And we're going to give specifics on that, on what happens when someone steals the title to your property, and should you buy that title lock insurance? Is it valuable? And we've got more when we return on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. You can contact me anytime. I am at 405-722-3232. It is my desire to help you sell your house, to find you a house. That's what Mark Carr does. And Mark is here, my team member, Mark Carr. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Becky.
And good morning to Mr. Ken McBride, president of Chicago Title. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Becky. Good morning, Mark. Come on, baby, tell me what's the word.
Word up. Everybody say, woo, Ken, you need to get out more. No dancing on the table. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Chicago Title, Oklahoma, where their word every day is...
Recourse.
I started that out wrong. Our word of the day is recourse. And recourse is the legal right to demand compensation or payment, right?
Right. It's who do you call?
Oh, there you go, Ghostbusters.
Oh. It's who do you call? You know, when this, something has happened, you know, in a circumstance, we frequently will say, you know, who are you going to call?
Right. Yeah.
If this comes up, who are you going to call? Who's going to be there for you? And that's kind of the way we like to talk about title insurance is there are circumstances. A lot of people say, well, nothing ever comes up and nothing ever, there's never a claim, da 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 da. We know there are claims. We know there are legitimate things that come up, and we know that we pay a lot of claims. We don't advertise that. We perhaps don't make that as clear as maybe we should, but there are lots of old circumstances I can tell you about where we've had to step in. We've had to pay a claim. Now, our claims are relatively low, but our premiums are a one-time premium for the life of your ownership of the property. So it's not like a lot like auto insurance or life insurance where you pay every month. It's just a one-time deal that covers you as long as you own the property.
So that's our word of the day is recourse, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to handle your hail claim, your wind claim, or just replace an old roof or do a small repair. Anywhere from that small sagging gutter to a complete commercial roof, Robbins Roofing is the guy I trust. You can trust them too. Robbins Roofing, 728-3700. They are all over our neighborhood right now.
Oh, my goodness.
I know of three houses in our neighborhood of 39 that they're replacing right now. So, but mine's fine. So, because they put a class four impact resistant shingle.
Yeah,
they put that on mine last time. It dropped my insurance by 30%.
Whoa.
My insurance premium.
Yeah. Whoa.
Mm-hmm. State Farm.
Most major, but State Farm in particular.
Well, yeah, and Brad Russell is my agent.
Yeah.
And he took care of that for me, so that's terrific. So anyway, call Robbins Roofing 728-3700, and he will personally... I don't like that he's crawling on roofs, but because I saw him do it this week. I called his wife, Jennifer, and I said, Jenny, do you allow him to crawl on roofs without somebody being there to catch him in case he falls?
Don't you tattle on Larry Robbins.
And she goes, well, he'd probably smash them flat if he fell on them. Okay, Ken McBride, we are talking about title theft and the title,
title lock.
Now, I'm sure there's more than one brand. They're the ones who advertise on TV a lot, Title Lock. And they basically check the records to be sure nothing's happened, right?
Yes, yes, very definitely. That's what, you know, and I'm no expert in this product, and anything I know about it is strictly from reading their advertisements and their website. But what they do is they are very similar, and in fact, they've deliberately named themselves similar to some of those products that check your
identity.
Yeah, check your identity or your credit score and see if someone has done anything to try and using your name, your numbers, and to try and steal your identity and let you know that. The title is a little different in the sense that it's not always an identity matter. Frequently, when someone does something with your title, they may not be taking your identity, but they may be trying to take advantage of something with regard to your property. I can give you some examples, and the examples I have are from many years ago, and because I'm, for that reason, I'm not really violating anybody's confidentiality. But years ago, we had a couple that, and this was not our company, it was another company, but they had a couple that owned a home, and it was not paid off, but very close to being paid off, a lot of equity in their home. And they had an opportunity to work for a year in a foreign country. And it was a very lucrative opportunity. It was very good for them. They intended to return to the Oklahoma City area all the time after that year was up. So they decided to lease their home. And so they leased their home to a couple that looked very nice, all their references checked out, everything checked out. So they leased their home. They get on an airplane, go to a foreign country. 3 months later, this couple forges a deed to themselves on the property, and then they put the property for sale. No, actually, I'm wrong. They didn't forge a deed. They just put the property for sale and told everyone they were that couple that owned it.
Oh.
Mm.
And so then they go to closing, and the first time, and they made it a very attractive price, sold very quickly, and they go to closing, and the title company that was handling it at the time asked them for a photo ID, as is our practice. And they were incensed, and they said, "I can't believe that you don't trust us, that we're who we are," and they stomped out of the closing. And everybody was upset, and the couple moved their transaction to a title company that wouldn't require photo ID.
Wow.
There's a title company that will not require...
There was at that time.
Wow.
There was at that time.
Wow.
And so they went ahead and closed. These people get back after their year abroad, and they go and somebody else is living in their house.
Welcome home.
What was the final story of that? I mean, what was the outcome of that?
Well, the first outcome, well, and this is interesting because it goes back to who do you call. Now, if you're signed up to something that tells you what's filed of record against your home, you're going to find out about that, but you're going to find out after it's already happened.
Right.
And so the only difference would have been they would have known about it when it happened instead of 6 months, 9 months later. But then the question becomes, who do you call? Now, Title Lock wasn't around at that time. But like I said, all it would have meant was they would have found out sooner. Now, the question gets to be, who does the property owner who had someone sell their property fraudulently, who do they call? Well, certainly...
I would say the district attorney, possibly.
Well, yeah, certainly. It's criminal, and those people were long gone.
Not that that helps.
Someone
prosecuted is of no help to your bank account,
yeah.
Right?
So they actually owned the home. The real people who were in trouble were the people who bought
it
and who were relying for their ownership on a fraudulent deed, and their lender, who had more money involved than anybody, because they had lent money on that home, and their mortgage was no good. Wow. You cannot mortgage property you don't own. So that ended up being a title insurance claim. The parties who had bought the home under, you know, thinking that they from these people who were presenting themselves as the owner, those people filed a title claim, and they received their money back. The lender received their money back.
Mm-hmm.
This, and then, of course, the title insurance company, if they can, has a right to go against the fraudsters and try and recover that money. But truthfully, in this case, they didn't even ever find them. Criminal authorities couldn't find them. They were just gone.
Wow.
They just knew how to do this, and they did it. And of course, the people whose home had been sold, their home was always theirs. They just, you know, the other people had to move out, and they got their home back. So everybody ended up being made whole. Obviously, the people didn't get the home that they thought they were buying, but they had back any money that they had invested in it, and they didn't owe their lender. I have a similar circumstance that happened where an individual was buying a home, and it had a judgment against it. And someone had fraudulently misrepresented and forged a release of that judgment. And the judgment was, it was about a $15,000 judgment. Well, so then this buyer decides, oh, I don't need title insurance. I'll just get title insurance in favor of my lender. Well, as it turns out, he buys the place. The lender is protected, but his equity, his down payment, was just a little over $25,000, and now he had a $15,000 judgment that was going to be collected against his property. It was a bad deal.
Well, title insurance, you know, back when I first started selling real estate, it was unusual to get title insurance. In 1977, it was kind of odd for someone to ask for title insurance. It was an attorney's opinion, period. It was the oddity. And now it didn't take too long, maybe 10 years, for lenders to start requiring it. Lenders didn't even require it back then.
Well, let me give you some insight into that too, because the history of this is very interesting. At that time, we had a substantial portion of lending on residential real estate was in the savings loan industry.
Oh, true.
And at that point, if you'll recall, the interest rates that savings loans paid and that banks paid were fixed by the government. And so if you had this rate that you were paying, and then you could lend out at this rate on a 30-year loan, you could make an industry work. And about that time, in the late 70s, money market accounts came up.
So
those interest rates were no longer fixed, and I can, and if you'd like, I had a president of a savings loan come and sit in front of my desk and say, I've got a whole basement full of mortgages that are generally in the 6% range at that time, and right now I'm paying out 9% on my accounts. I need to sell these loans. Well, guess what? Every one of those loans was sold based on an attorney's opinion, and they were not saleable in the secondary market.
Huh. Wow.
So lenders decided, even if I'm not selling it now, I may want to sell it later. I'd better get title insurance.
Yeah.
And it was prohibitive, really, for him to get title insurance on a whole basement full of 6% loans. It was tragic.
He was losing no matter what.
It was a horrible circumstance for him to be in.
The downfall of
the institution, along with several other very good savings and loans, are no longer with us.
We're going to return with more right after this break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company, leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, and contact me anytime at 405-722-3232. It would be my pleasure to help you with your real estate transaction. I'm here with Mark Carr. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
We're having a lively discussion with Mr. Ken McBride from Chicago Title, Oklahoma. We're talking about, do you need insurance such as the brand name Title Lock, and should we buy it?
Well, you know, I as a general rule, I think people have to decide, number one, they should know it's not an insurance product. It is not any type of insurance. It is basically a notification. And it's not a one-time cost. It's a cost that you pay for every month over a long period of time. And so it could end up being considerably expensive, but it is a notification. It lets you know it's like paying for a recurrent search of your title to see if anything has been recorded in your title. And sometimes that's useful. Sometimes it's not. I think each individual has to kind of decide for themselves, whether that would be important to them. It is not an insurance product, and nor is it any type of title insurance.
It's not a recovery.
No,
of your title.
It's not a recovery of your title.
Notifies you when you've been.
They notify you, and I think that there's probably a provision. They might suggest some things you might do to rectify a problem that you have on your title. But they notify you, but they're not obligated to pay for your claims. They're not obligated to actually carry any reserves. I mean, our company has over $1 billion in reserves to pay for claims and to pay for people. We not only have the obligation, we have the ability to respond to claims like that. So so title insurance is very different, and title insurance is viewed as important by your lender, and it's important for the owner too, because even though your down payment may be fairly small, it is not something that you want to have at risk, and you want to make sure that you don't end up owing money on a home that you no longer own.
And, you know, Ken, the people who do not take title insurance nowadays are the folks who pay cash. And I've bought properties for cash. There is no way I am risking my hard-earned money that I am buying a property with without getting title insurance.
Well, and that's, you're exactly right, because who are you going to turn to? Yeah. Again, we get back to recourse. Who are you going to call if there's a title problem on it? And people don't realize that a substantial portion of title claims that are paid are actually attorney's fees to get things corrected, to get things made right, to defend the status of title. Thousands and thousands of dollars. And you got to think about how much attorney's time can you pay for with the average premium?
There you go. Not very much.
I hope our listeners hear why we use Chicago Title.
Yes.
This is
To find Chicago Title's contact information, go to BeckyIvins.com. BeckyIvins.com. If you thought of selling a house is too daunting for you and you need organization and help, tune in next week for Clutter Free with Shelley Chapel. We'll see you then on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.